F1, number 29A.
Now, I think we have been working pretty hard this week. I feel we have really done an earnest job. And when I began last Sunday, I gave you, so to say, a preview of the prophets, and then during the week, from Monday to Saturday, I tried to give you the prophets, and now, today, I think we just will review what we have been doing, what we have been thinking, and just browse over those 12 or 16 prophets. I think it is always good that if one presents a subject, that one doesn't stop at the end of the talk with the end of presenting the subject, but that one has enough time to say, now, what have we really done? So as to fix the subject clearer and clearer in one's consciousness. So, we have seen that the prophets take a definite section within the whole framework of metaphysics, within the whole framework of the Bible and science and health. In other words, I want to stress again that what we have been doing here is not the whole cheese, as you would say, but only a section out of it. It's only one part of it, and we have to keep that in mind, because when one has pondered such a section of the whole and is not aware, see, that one has only pondered a section and considered a section of the whole, the questions arise which say, now, Max, how would now this apply to this question and that question and in this case and that way and so on. And in most cases I would have to say, well, it doesn't apply to it, because the question you may ask is a question about the word section of divine metaphysics, or the question which you are asking right now is something which is dealt with the section of Christianity, of the New Testament, or is something which applies to the section of science. And we have done the Christ section. You see, so what we have been considering this week will not be the answer to everything. Is that clear? That this will not be the answer to every question. It will only be a rather comprehensive answer to the definite and specific question of the Christ in its office of manifesting itself as the idea of God and in the office of translating everything which is not ideational back into the realm of ideas. So, you see, that's now, say, the advantage and the disadvantage of such a talk. The advantage of it is that we take the time and say, now let's just take a week or say a year or two to train ourselves and drill ourselves in one category, the Christ. That's the advantage, that we then have time, that we can consider it from all angles and from every aspect and what it means and so on, and clarify that properly. But it has the disadvantage, perhaps. I never consider it as a disadvantage, because I like to think in categories. But it has, so to say, that disadvantage, that it doesn't answer everything. That it isn't a talk where I can say, now, go home, you have the whole cake. You have the whole cheese. You have it now. No, I don't, you see. I say specifically that we have dealt with that section in the Bible where the prophets show and begin to realize first, you see, that there is a Christ, that God has a Christ, and that God will willingly work through its idea, and that it has the power to work it through. And when he has shown that he does that job so thoroughly, that at the end we have that standpoint of Daniel, where we can interpret at the place of God, where we have the interpretation of mind, science, mind with a capital M, then the prophets leave that section. And then it turns over to the New Testament, where Jesus starts from that point where Daniel left it and began to show that really, if one makes that standpoint of Daniel one's own, that if one works by grace instead of by the right of human righteousness, that if one does that on that standpoint, that principle and idea is one, that will demonstrate itself in every detail. And then we come to Christianity. And Jesus exemplified it. Paul came and said, all right, now I have to show to the people the theory of that Christ's Christianity, of that demonstration of the Christ's power. And so the letters of Paul and of the other apostles, the epistles, give them the theory of demonstration. There we will find then how to apply specifically these prophets or the Christ translation. So keep that in mind, you see, that you don't feel, well, I have been now to these talks, or that you feel I have now seen some of these laws, and then to feel, can I now use them? Can I now make the best of them? Just remember that what we have been doing is giving us an awakening in us, the tools, the right tool, the Christ consciousness, which then is in the New Testament applied to the human situation, applied to the various situations that rise up. We can see very easily, for instance, if we look through the prophets, through all of the prophets, we could see they didn't demonstrate, so to say, anything. You see? Except perhaps Daniel. He was the only one that really said, now, I show you that the more I begin to see that the Lord talks to my Lord, that I can demonstrate the superiority of spiritual power over material power. All the other prophets, when you read them, you don't see that they make a specific demonstration over anything. I think the only one that did something of that sort was perhaps Jeremiah, that he could save himself for being put to death at various times. But he only wanted to show it with those little incidents, which, by the way, were never really the main subject he was talking about, just to show that this Christ has power. But besides that, except in Daniel, we don't find what we would call demonstrations. Is that clear? You see? Is that clear? Now, when we come to Jesus, then he demonstrates it. And he shows that section, you see, of the divine system, which is, so to say, under that roof category of Christianity, where all the 16 standpoints of the epistles are under the category of Christianity, no more under the category of the Christ as in the prophets. And therefore, what he's going to show there is again a matrix, but a matrix which has quite different touches as well in the 1, 2, 3, 4 which we had, as well as on the side of the A, B, C, D which we had in the prophets. When we analyze those epistles, then we find other shadings of the word Christ, Christianity and science in its reflecting tone as the word Christ, Christianity and science. No more the same as here, because they are dominated by another aspect of divine metaphysics, namely by Christianity or by demonstration. And so only really the Christianity matrix we find then the teaching, so to say, of what is necessary now for the demonstrator, if we want to say that, for the practitioner, for the demonstrator, what is necessary so as to make the prophets, the Christ matrix, available or practical to a specific situation. Is that clear about the big layout?
Yes.
See? So that the prophets have a message, the epistles have a message, but those two messages are different messages. Now, the moment I have shown this, I just can feel, you see, how the thought responds and says, so let's have the Christianity matrix. You see, let's have the Christianity matrix. I like to have this, I like to have metaphysics practical, and that's right. It must be practical. So let's have it as quickly as possible, you see. Now, you see, naturally, in a sense, you know, each one has that Christianity matrix in himself, in a sense. You would be quite surprised that when once we would go through it, just to realize how much each one has already that within itself. Perhaps not now systematized as the matrix, but in a natural way, you see. So, again, I want to say something so as not to be misunderstood. I want to say, well, if we now have considered, say, the Christ matrix, which, so to say, only gives the platform, the firm ground, on which then the epistles build and demonstrate these ideas in practical experience. We don't need to think, because we have now only done the Christ, that this Christ will now not help us. Because in each one of us is not just a category which says Christ and nothing to it. Nothing Christianity in it, no science in it. There is always that one touch in oneself which quite naturally responds, and takes in the Christianity standpoint also, and uses this Christ message in a natural way, perhaps first in a tentative or in a way of flair and of feeling, also in some way in a more definite sense. There is always something there which is able to use already now that Christ matrix. So I want to make that clear too, you see. But in the stage where I feel we are, you see, I am not speaking here to students who have just come, so to say, in Christian Science, and to whom one should give always, I think, to the beginner, always an all-around picture, so that the picture is rounded up. But then when one advances, one is able and ready to investigate this whole picture, which is round and so on, and whole in a way, and is ready to say, now, what does it really mean? What are the constituents of it? And only an advanced student is really willing to sit down and say, now, I want now to analyze for my consciousness a certain sector, a certain section of divine metaphysics. A beginner can't do that, and he shouldn't do that, because a beginner, if we would only show him one section out of it, he would have too many questions, which are outside of that sector. But when one has first got an all-round picture, then one can say, now I want once to focus my attention on one section, say on the Word, or on the Christ, or on Christianity, or on science. And in doing that, naturally, we begin to fathom the depth and the exactness and the science and the system of such a section much deeper and deeper. But at the same time, when that basic research is going on, you see, in the measure of that basic research going on, we never lose sight of all the other sections which we already have to a certain extent made our own. So we are not going to limit us in a section when we focus our attention on a section, but we just deepen our understanding within that section. So, if, say, you feel you want to go home after this week and you feel, oh, I must get hold of this subject, I must get hold of that Christ translation, that Christ message, that Christ standpoint, well, what you then do, you must be aware of it, that you devote yourself, so to say, to basic research. To basic research. And that basic research may take your attention and a lot of your attention and of your love, but just always remember it's only one section. And the everyday life, the everyday problem that rise up may not always find its answer just within that section. That basic research which you do may not be the answer to your question, because that question which comes here up and there, comes up here and there, may find its answer mostly perhaps in the Christianity sense or in the science sense. Is that clear? So you see, what we really are is that we are beginning to be, so to say, high school students, you see, high school students in metaphysics, and only somebody can do that, who really inwardly has already an all-round picture, and who is not too much troubled by what's going on in one's life and in the world and so on, but which says, all right, I will handle that the way I have handled it up to now, but now I will get a deeper sense of this and this section. And so it looks perhaps outwardly as if our interest then would be split up, so to say, in two interests, in basic research and second in handling everyday life problem. We just have to do that. And so, though it may look that way, it isn't. It is just that the focus is now on a specific section, namely the Christ. So, when we consider, say, now this prophetic era, and ask ourselves now, what is really the main truth that we have won through the prophets? And we see that the prophets came in after the 3,000-year period, after the kingdom period. The kingdom period ushered the prophetic age in. The kingdom period nearly asked for the prophetic era. And we begin to see that the main truth which we have won is that the prophets ask us to change standpoint from the Word to the Christ. That the prophetic era tells to each one of us, wherever we are. Now I just blend it with all the other stuff. Wherever we are, you see, wherever we are, it says, and whatever the problem is which we have, it says, a solution can only be found for any problem, for any life problem, for any specific problem, can only be found by changing standpoint and sitting down on the throne of grace. By seeing that our place is at the right hand of the Father. Now what does that mean? What an enormous change must take place in consciousness to realize that. You see, as long as we are in the world, sense of things, we acknowledge that there is a God, and we acknowledge that there is a God of everything, and we acknowledge, say, that God is good, and we acknowledge that it is our God. But the point is, and that is the practical side of it, over and over, you can every patient which you have to deal with, everybody who has anything on their shoulder, you can see that this is the first thing that has to be seen, is that until that patient changes consciousness and looks out from God and with God and as God or God-like, and for the purpose of God. Until he does that, he is outside of God. He has a mentality and a consciousness which is outside of God. He has still that mentality where he acknowledges that there exists that Word of God, that God exists, where he acknowledges all sorts of great truths about God. But it's about God. And where human consciousness somehow acknowledges the existence of God, but has not taken the standpoint of God's consciousness, of divine consciousness, where there is not that uplifting state in consciousness, where we inwardly rejoice and say, well, what I'm troubled about really? I can't be troubled about anything really. Because if I look out from God, and if I look out with God, with God's ideas, and if I see but God's ideas, therefore look out like God, and if I only see that all that there is going on, that these ideas are always coming back and operating for God, what am I troubled about? So really, you know, that in that change from the third to the 4,000-year period, that change from the objective to the subjective inward standpoint, is really the beginning of any solution. See, what the prophets show is that the prophets give us the platform from which Christianity then in the New Testament demonstrates its power in actual outward demonstration. But the beginning of healing is not in Christianity. The beginning of healing is not with Jesus and with Paul's epistles. The beginning of healing is in consciousness, and that is shown that there must first be a change from the human standpoint to the divine standpoint. So the prophets really are the basis of healing. So, again, you see, coming back to what I have said before, again, I could say, well, I wouldn't really have been kind to an audience by presenting the Christianity matrix, or say the epistles and the laws and rules and the matrix, the Christianity matrix, ruling there where we get our demonstration, which we like to get. Because I would build on sand. Such a presentation would build on sand. Because the whole Christianity is only the outcome of the Christ. So until we build first in consciousness the Christ matrix, always more firmly and more definitely and more securely, so that it is nearer to us and warmer to us and natural to us, until we are recruited and drilled in the planar manual of the Christ matrix, we have no ground on which to build the Christianity matrix. Without this consciousness of the Christ matrix, I say Christ matrix, I just could as well say, or better say, the Christ translation, the two Christ translations. If that is not established in consciousness, we can speak about the epistles forward and backward, and they have no savior. They have no savior. No savior in both pronunciations. No Christ savior, and no pep in it, you know. No pep in it. Because only the Christ consciousness within us is the platform on which Paul can build. Without that Christ platform, Paul's epistles, or I just should say the epistles, that is, the scientific exposition, the theory, so to say, about Jesus' vision, about Jesus' discovery, all that Christianity matrix wouldn't have power if it is not rested within our consciousness first of the Christ matrix. So when, say, you would make up your minds, for instance, that you say, all right, I take now a year or 2 years to drill myself in basic research about Christ, which doesn't mean that you only should do or could do or might do basic research. Basic research always goes side by side with the practical handling of every situation and being interested in what's going on and being interested what new thoughts comes up and so on. But there must be a line in our study. You see, there must be a definite line in our study as basic research, which says, I must see that basically I begin to get a sounder and firmer grounding. So, where was I now? So, if we decide, say, to give some time in the future to this basic research of the Christ matrix, you will know that you build their foundation for your future, which is necessary, which is so necessary that without it, somehow the house, whatever we will going to build without it, will just not stand, will just not have a sure foundation. Is that clear what I want to show with it? What the purpose of such a basic research is, say, of devoting one's time to a subject, that it isn't exclusive and it isn't allowed to be exclusive, for we always go against the whole, and we should never go against the whole, or we go against God, you see. But the development, the spiritual development that is shown in the Bible is a definite development. It isn't Marx's development, you know. It isn't Marx's development. We have come through the Bible, you see. That's why I tried last Sunday to start with the first and second and third 1,000 years and to see how the ideas develop, and now the Bible shows it, now we come to the prophets, What does it mean? And we have seen something deeper in it.